Savior's Invitation song will be number 655. Say, and the light, the blessing God, spotlight, let it shine,
let it shine
from shore to shore.
Just
send the light, the blessing God, spotlight,
let it shine
forevermore, forevermore.
Amen. We thank you, Brother Miles, for those wonderful selections. The songs that edify and admonish us and send up praises unto God. We thank Brother Bill for the wonderful prayer on our behalf. I need prayer. I don't know about you, but we need it all the time. I'm thankful to be able to stand here before you today to bring a portion of God's word, a little bit of understanding that I guess we've accumulated over the years, and some knowledge out of the scriptures. Even though my title seems a bit difficult, it's a title that requires a little bit of help from you. And I want you to, first off, let's go to God in a word of prayer. Most good and righteous and kind Father, it has again become thanking you, dear God. Thanking you for increasing our understanding, dear Lord. Thanking you for your word, which guides us through everything. Lord, we thank you for just to be able to serve you in the different capacities that you have given us to do so. Lord, we thank you for the study of your word, which feeds us and makes us strong. Lord, we pray that the lesson that's brought here today, if there be some who are not sure of their standing with you, that is cleared up. And if there be some who are seeking salvation and seeking the relationship that you have given us, Lord, help them to understand the words that are being preached here tonight. For it is on their behalf that we preach the gospel. It is on their behalf that your word was written, that we all may be saved and remain saved. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Again, I want to thank the leadership here, elders and members, for you tolerating me to preach the gospel. If we go to our title, and I want you to participate with me if you can. If you look inside your journal, the title of the subject is The House, The Temple, The Church, The Body, and the Christian, the same, though by another name. The same, though by another name. Now, some of you may not agree with that right now, but by the end of this lesson, I'm hoping that we all come to the same accord as the scriptures bring us to that. Our text, as read by Brother Bell, was Acts chapter 7, 48. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. I know we've heard those statements a lot. I know that there are a lot of buildings that were made over the centuries, very elaborate, beautiful buildings. I like to go downtown and drive on Roosevelt, and I look at some of the Catholic temples and the construction. They're very beautiful. Probably none more beautiful than the temple of the Old Testament. Just as an introduction, I want to do a little brief history of the first and the second temples of the Old Testament. As Chronicles chapter 2, 29 and 1, we find that the son of David, Solomon, was commissioned to build the first temple around 957 B.C., It stood for about 30 years before it was destroyed by a guy named Shishak the First, the Pharaoh of Egypt. Now, he didn't destroy it completely, because around 835 B.C., Jehoiash, King of Judah, invested considerable sums to rebuild that temple. In around 700 BC, it was stripped again by an Assyrian leader by the name of Sennacherib, and that was around 700 BC. But in 586 BC, the first temple was finally and completely destroyed by the Babylonians. Now, the second temple was built under Persian rule after the fall of Babylon. And we find that in Ezra chapter 5, 17, 6 and 3, and 614. We can research that later. And we find Cyrus, the king of Persia, whom the Lord moved to decree the building of it. And in the scripture it says, the Lord, the God of heaven, this is Cyrus speaking now, the God of heaven and of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Therefore, in 538 BC, the building of the temple began, and it went for 23 years. And it was completed in 515 BC under Darius I, which was the ruler at the time of Syria. But it went on standing as a beacon of hope in Jerusalem for until about 70 AD. It was destroyed completely by Titus of Rome. Now, this temple, it is said in Josephus that this temple was so destroyed and burnt to the ground that the soldiers scraped the melted gold off the rubble. And it is also understood, and in Matthew, if you turn your books to Matthew chapter 24 and 2 for me, we're going to read this one together. Matthew chapter 24 and 2. This is Christ prophesying about the destruction of the temple, the second temple. When he said, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. And that came to pass in 70 AD. Now we're faced with a question here. Was God left without a dwelling place? Was God left without a dwelling place? Now let's recall Acts chapter 7 and 48. However, the Most High, this answers our question, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. Are you with me? Okay, we say it again, just to refresh our memory. The house, the temple, the church, the body, and the Christian, the same, though by another name. So, what was the purpose of the Old Testament temple? Turn with me to 1 Kings, chapter 8 and 27. 1 Kings, chapter 8 and 27. Where we see Solomon states some very insightful things, and one of which I want us to hold on to. That is the first part of this scripture. Solomon states, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? And behold, heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built. Again, those temples were very, very elaborate. And some of the ones that are here today are very elaborate, but they do not hold our God, because the heaven and heavens cannot hold our God. And then we look at 2 Chronicles 2 and 6. Turn with me there to 2 Chronicles 2 and 6. Because I want you to see this. I'll give you time to get there. 2 Chronicles 2 and 6. It reads, "But who is able to build a temple? But who is able to build a temple?" Now, I want you to hold on to that. Just put it in the backwards of your mind, because we're going to address that again. "But who is able to build him a temple? Since the heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain him." Then Solomon asks kind of a self-pondering question. "Who am I then that I should build him a temple?" Which answers our question, "except to burn sacrifices before him." We find in Deuteronomy 12, around the first verses, that that was the purpose of that temple in the first place, to burn sacrifices before him. But somehow, it became God's dwelling place. We've seen it in movies and even heard it amongst ourselves, that you are in the house of God. We want to understand what we mean by that. There's nothing wrong with the statement, but as Christians, we have to clarify our understanding of what God has for us. Is that all right? Now, as we transition to the New Testament, let's consider the question again. But who is able to build a temple? Build him a temple. Brothers and sisters, I just want you to know that the title that I chose for this is not just the title, but it is an assertion and a confirmation of the scriptures, as we will see as we go further. Let's consider the house. Turn our selections to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 16. Paul writes, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, and the pillar and ground of the truth." Paul doesn't leave this to interpretation. The house of God is also the church of the living God. Is that make sense? Now, let's add one more thing, and this is just a side note. In terms of the pillar and ground of the truth, the world will not know the truth of the gospel save through the mouth of the church. In that scripture, that is our purpose as Christians. Are we right? Now, let us remember again, that unless we tell them, they're not going to get it. Is that all right? Now, in terms of house, we're not talking about a building, per se. We're talking about a term, the household of God. Now, I got a household. It consists of myself, Jessica, and Rachel. We live in an apartment. But our household is the Thompson household of Jessica, Rachel, and myself. And we have cultures and we have rules in that household. Is that all right? Now, So we can understand, at least this part of our lesson, that the house and the church are one and the same. Do we see that? Yeah, I don't think you get it. Okay. All right, let's go further. You'll get it on the end. The temple. Now, we can all agree of those two things. But in 2 Chronicles 2 and 6 again, a very important question was posed. Again, I got to keep saying it because it is like almost the gist of what we're talking about. But who is able to build him a temple? Of course, the one who is able to build it, he cannot use bricks and mortar. Am I right? Unless you can build that thing without using your hands with bricks and mortar. I don't think you can. And even if you could, it's not what the scripture is talking about. So, I hate to do this, but I got to repeat this one again. The Most High doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. I just believe in repetitive things help us to recall things. Because when you leave here, I want you to understand that the house, the temple, the church, the body, and the Christian are one and the same. So that when you're out in the world, you can see clearly the distinctions between what God has planned for mankind and what the world had created. Amen? Moving forward. Turn your selections to John chapter 2 and verse 19 through 22. John chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. When confronted, Jesus said this. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. Or in 3 days, I will raise it up again. This is Jesus talking now. But then the Jews of the time, they mocked him. It took 46 years to build this temple. How you going to destroy it and raise it back up again in 3 days? Seems impossible. But thank God that the word of God, verse 21, if you look at verse 21, it says, but he was speaking of the temple of his body. What are you talking about that? He already said that that temple was going to be destroyed. But when he was talking about that temple that he was going to raise in 3 days, he was talking about the temple of his body. Do we see that? Amen. Now, fast forward. Therefore, in verse 22, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them. And they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. They understood it. They understood that on the third day he rose, and that ushered in what we know today as Christianity. So, what about now? The house, the temple, the church, the body, and the Christian The same, though by another name. The same, though by another name. You know, we are blessed to be in an organization where we are all told to study to show ourselves approved unto God. It is that important. So that if myself or anybody else takes the pulpit and says something that's not according to thus saith the Lord, then we know to correct it. It's that important. It's that important. So, as we move forward, we have to consider the church. The church. A word we're even more familiar with. It comes from a Greek word. I think I'm pronouncing it right. Ekklesia, which means the called out. The Greeks used it to describe a group of citizens that got together to talk about the state of affairs. Let's give you some little history of its meaning. But in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 through 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave to him to be the head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is his body. What? And have put all things under his feet, and gave himself to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And we also find in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is his church. Do we see that? Or am I not yelling loud enough? Amen. So, the household of God is the temple of God, which is the church of God and the body of Christ. Is that clear? Can we see how blessed we are? That nothing in this earth, on this earth, was worthy enough to. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get to that later. In Acts chapter 2 and 47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church those who were being saved. Who were they? Those who were being saved. Now let's deal with this body. I know these scriptures overlap, but I had to separate to center in on some points on each subject of the house, the temple, the church, the body, and the Christian. If you turn your selections again to, we go back to John 2, 19 through 20. Jesus said he's going to raise that up in three days. And however, in verse 21, on the subject of the body, he was talking about the temple of his body. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 27. I want you to go there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 27. Unfortunately, I have problems reading my own writing sometimes. I'm a writer because it helps me to remember things. So when I write the scriptures down, it not only helps me to remember things, but if I should miss something, I have written it on my mind. It's a little thing that I've actually learned when I was in college. All of my notes were written over, and when the test came, I was able to recall. But if I sat there and listened, I was not able to recall anything. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. Brother Miles, do you have that? Can you read that for me?
Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular.
The scripture says that ye are the body of Christ,
and
members in particular. Amen. That's our focus. 27. Members in particular. So in Acts chapter 47, we're talking about the church and those who are being saved becoming the body of Christ and members in particular. Have I lost anybody? Are we all there? Amen. I don't know. I wish you saw it the way I saw it. It's amazing to me. It's absolutely amazing to me that we have been called out of this world into this fellowship, into this communion, to be so closer than mankind since Adam has been to God. Because he loved us, he pulled us into this union. Amen. Let's go again to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. Because I believe you got to have a few scriptures to kind of pull the point home, right? It says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of okay?
For the edifying of Christ.
For the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay? The building up, edifying means. The building up of the body of Christ. And Ephesians 5:23, one that a lot of our husbands are familiar with. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ. Amen. He is the Savior of the body.
Therefore,
amen. Stop there. In Colossians chapter 1 and 24. Colossians chapter 1 and 24 says what? Yes.
Who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church.
Is that clear? Amen. Amen. So can you say it with me? The house. The temple. The church. The body. And the Christian. The same, though by another name. Amen. So, we've answered the question put forth by Solomon, who was able to build him a temple. I believe in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5 to reinforce that. Therefore, when he came into the world, this is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. When he came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings did not desire, you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Now the Christian is dealt with. I think by this time we understand who we're talking about. So I left that to one scripture in Acts chapter 11 and 26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were called Christians in Antioch. How's that important? We're talking about the same thing, though by another name. In Antioch, instead of saying the church, they say, you know what? I'm going to call them Christian now because they follow Christ. Amen? So the temple, the house, the temple, the church, the body, and the Christian are the same in this dispensation of the Bible. Now I want all of us to turn to 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 16. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 16. And I want us to remember what church means. Okay? In our context, the called out. We are being called out of this world and into his glorious kingdom. If we're all there, did I say 1 Corinthians? I'm sorry, I meant 2 Corinthians. I did say 2 Corinthians. I just never got there. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 16. And I may do a couple other points beyond that. Well, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath the righteous with unrighteous? We were the unrighteous before the gospel. And what communion hath light with darkness? We were in darkness before the gospel. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And if you don't see how blessed we are, that we are brought into this communion, to this one accord with Christ and God and the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Belial is the devil. So in the world is darkness. The sin had dominion over us. We served Satan out there in the world until the gospel. It changed our lives, brought us into his glorious light. Do we see that? Do we see that? Amen. And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Infidel simply means it's not anything Muslim created. It simply means that those that don't believe. And what agreement, get this again, y'all, back to our subject, hath the temple of God with idols? Things that don't really make any sense to our salvation. For ye are the temple of the living God. Do you see that? We are the temple of the living God. And he didn't just stop there. And God has said, I will dwell in them. Not in a building. Not in an elaborate cathedral of immaculate conception, whatever stuff that they come up with names with these places. But I will dwell in them. It really, really is an honor to be a member of the Lord's body. We were consecrated through the baptism, made acceptable, and God moved into us. And he said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God. Wait a minute, you created us. How can you not be our God before? I will be their God, and they will be my people. We have been honored. We have been blessed beyond blessed. We are God's people. We have a nation without borders. Anywhere you go in the world where God's people assemble, you should feel at home. Because you are a part of the household of God. Do we see that? Amen. They will be my people. Just as a just think about it. Where were we when we first heard the gospel? You know, we had a little bit of faith. We really didn't have a real understanding. I know I didn't. But I knew that my heart wanted to change, that I wanted to be a part of what God wanted to offer. So what's required of that? What I'm doing here is we are teaching the gospel. If you turn to Romans chapter 6 and 18, I'm sorry, 6 and 17. Romans chapter 6 and 17, if you will. Because it is so important, teaching God's word. 6 and 17. That's Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. I'm sorry. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are to whom you obey, I'm sorry guys, I'm missing this, whether to sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. The word doctrine simply means teaching. There's power in the teaching of God's word. And what we say back then, the pillar and foundation, the ground and pillar and ground of the truth, the world ain't going to get that teaching. By osmosis, I think a scientific term means naturally. That's our job. And we have a powerful teaching in the gospel, which is, well, let's read it on.
Being then made free from sin,
ye became the servants of righteousness. How about Romans chapter 1 and verse 16? We've heard this one before. But I want us to hear it in a new light.
For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
And verse 17.
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If we are just, it's because we understood that teaching of the gospel. We obeyed that teaching of the gospel. And we were baptized into Christ, and we were made the very thing that he wanted us to be. We were put in the household of God. We are the temple of the living God. We are the church of God. We are the body of Christ. And we are Christians, members in particular. The gospel is the message preached here today. God's plan from the very beginning, again, like we said, to bring us closer in sweet communion and fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we come by hearing, believing, repenting of the old life, and confessing Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of sin. That's how you become a Christian. And then we remain faithful until death.
Amen.
For all those who are pondering, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to become a part of God's kingdom? Every one of us walked that walk. Every one of us came down. And just like the Ethiopian eunuch, in when confronted with Philippians, here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? And he said, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may. And both him and Philip went down into the water, and they were baptized, and the Ethiopian eunuch went away rejoicing. I believe that's in Acts chapter 8, I believe. So what do we get? What does hinder us from being baptized? First off, the Ethiopian eunuch understood the gospel, because the power of the gospel is in this understanding. When people hear it, that's what motivates them to come and be baptized into Christ.
All right.
I want us to also turn to one last note here. I keep saying selection because I sing songs a lot. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26.
Galatians 3:26.
Yes. Amen. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. The teaching of the gospel is the power of salvation. The doctrine that we obey from the heart, that's the power of the gospel.
All right.
Read the other verse for me there. 27. I'm sorry. I get it. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The house, the temple, the church, the body of Christ, and the Christian, the same though by another name. Amen. This is what we've been called to do. Message that we prepare. I am so thankful to be able to prepare a message because I sneak and get a little bit more food than what I deliver here today because I have to read it over and over again, and it's pleasing to me. But there are some of you, and this is not about me. It's about those who have not put on Christ in baptism. You've understood. Hopefully you've understood what your purpose is. We all have walked that out. We came down. There's no shame in this. There's no shame in this. The difference between a Christian and someone in the world, we still sin, but little by little, through the grace of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that as we obey His word, it transforms us more and more into the image of His dear Son. This is what we study. This is why we can't miss Bible study. This is why we have to understand what we're, and when we're at home, we have to set aside time to understand. How do you know what lasciviousness is if you have not studied it? How do you know you're not doing it if you don't understand what it is? See, now this message is for the young as well as the old. My father was well into his age before he obeyed the gospel. But he had a fourth grade education. He understood the gospel. And he remembered. My mother, you know, she struggled as a Baptist all of her life. We talked all the time. But it was until the quiet voice of my sister Brenda, when she was laid up with heart condition, she ministered to her. And from all that confusion that was out there, she was able to get an understanding at that point. The strongholds were put down and her ears were open. This is what we need to hear, right? This is what's needed. We need to break down those things and just say, what must I do? Let me just go. Tell you what, you come down this aisle, you give us your hand and give God your heart. As we stand and sing the invitation song.
Number 655.